Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Last week we went through chapter 3 and looked at the three types of man there, the carnal man, spiritual man. We put emphasis on that. And then we'll start off here in chapter 4. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. All right, who's the us? Talking about up there, and whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. Get back at it here. The man count of us, that us is Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, or the world. All right, but it's Paul or Apollos or Cephas. That's who he's referring to in that scripture. But it would include all of us and ever minister. So watch this. So let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, above all things, it is required in the stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful for what? Just what he's talking about, the mysteries. Now, I'm not going to go into, I'm going to read them out to you here. But I won't spend a lot of time on them because we spent a whole 6 months probably with a chart up there on that board looking at the mysteries. And I use seven, and a lot of other men will use seven. I'm not saying that's the perfect number on this, but I'll just put it this way. These are mysteries. And they're mysteries that Paul's talking about because he clearly makes it known in other books, other letters. 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And he said, if people had been good stewards to that, you wouldn't have Kingdom Hall up here on the left. You would not. If people had been stewards of the mysteries of God, of the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. That's simple to that. Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, anyone who messes with the deity, all right, that wouldn't existed if man had been faithful to it. We dropped it. We dropped the ball. We dropped the stewardship over the years. It's the like story I read where one preacher was telling, said two preachers went hunting, and one of them said, he said, "Where's your bird dog?" And he said, "I left it with a steward." And he said, "What's a steward?" And he said, "Well, it's thought a little bit." And he said, "It's kind of like a deacon in a Baptist church." And he said, "Man, you just lost a good bird dog." So that's about the truth of it. Stewards, we're stewards, we're keepers, we're put in charge of something. That's something we should not be ashamed of or lay down on. I'm going to go on from this one. And the next one would be the mystery among the Gentiles, Colossians 1:27. We won't turn to all these. We've been on them so many times. But Colossians 1:27, the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a mystery. And if people had been true to that, you wouldn't have all this charismatic mess of the Holy Spirit coming on you, and you're doing this, doing it. Holy Spirit's within you. Christ is within you. Think on these things, how true that statement is. All right, and the third one would be Ephesians 5:32, Christ in the church. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. When he's talking about that woman, we're one body. Just think of all the, if stewards had been faithful to that, where would we be with that? We wouldn't have all these schisms, all these bodies. We wouldn't have it. And the next one is the blindness in part. It's happened to Israel. Romans 11:25. It's a mystery that blindness in part has happened to Israel. But you wouldn't have people who would be going around saying, well, the church has replaced Israel. They haven't. You wouldn't. You wouldn't be have people saying that Israel wouldn't be restored. They will be. The restoration of Israel. And look at what's going on in this day and time against them, folks. You want to see this nation go under? Let them turn their back on Israel. That's one of the blessings. That is a blessing. Just like you said, you know, children, obey your parents and all that kind of stuff, and your days will be long on this earth. A nation wants some long time on this earth, honor Israel. And it's not happening. All right? All right? And the next one is 1 Corinthians 15:52. I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. You wouldn't have this crowd teaching that you got to endure to the end, you got to go through the tribulation period. I'm not appointed to wrath, right? That's being faithful to the mysteries. The mystery of iniquity. Thessalonians. And we wouldn't be teaching what's being taught up and down this road here, that the world's just going to get better. It's going to get better and better. It's not going to regenerate. It's going to degenerate. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. And it's going to get worse. Why? Because of the mystery of iniquity. Now, I'll go on from here. It's going slow anyway. Mystery of iniquity. Paul said, doth already work. And it's out there today. And we'll look at a scripture in here about a little leaven. That's what Satan's done in the church. He puts a little leaven in there. And leaven's the whole lump. The whole thing for that. And in the mystery of Babylon, Revelation 17:5, that whore, that mystery of Babylon. We wouldn't be having that if we'd have been faithful to the mysteries of God. Mysteries of the kingdom of God. God was manifest in the flesh. Now we can see the importance. Let a man so account of us as of the minister of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. God give us something to keep. And God gives every man a means to help keep them that's saved, every saved man. And we're to be true to these mysteries. And like I said, starting off here, I'm using seven there, and that's what seven it comes up. So I'm not going to argue about the number. But I'm sure we're going to argue about the stewardship of it. We're stewards of the mysteries of God. And moreover, it requires in stewards that man be found faithful. It's not this, well, brother, if you believe it, that's okay. No, it's not okay. I mean, we're to stand fast on certain things. Like our preacher said Wednesday night. There are certain things when he is looking at that gap theory I'm not going to argue with you about. But there's certain things that I'm going to. And these seven mysteries that I just listed out to you, I'm going to hold firm on them. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The mystery among the Gentiles. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery, I speak concerning Christ in the church. The mystery of Christ in the church. His one body. We're to hold true to these things. And folks, churches haven't done it. Stewards have not done it. Stewards have not been faithful. And it didn't start yet yesterday. It started back years ago. And it was starting there in that Corinthian church. And Paul was saying, some of you are saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of this, I'm of that. Is Christ divided? We looked at that last week. So, moreover, it is required in the stewards that a man be found faithful. Excuse me. Sinus is giving me a fit. Moreover, it is required in the stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgments. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Now, these next couple of scriptures, they sound tough. But when we start looking at them, and looking at them in the subject of the chapter is faithfulness to the mysteries. Now, and we look back in the other chapter, they were choosing people to serve behind, and they were saying, well, he's not this, he's not that, and that one's this, and that one's that. And Paul's already put that down. But he's saying here, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, right? It's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Paul is saying here in the regards to whether he was faithful or not. That's what he's talking about. When you get a man standing up there patting himself on the back on how faithful he is, he's not going to know how faithful he is till God judges him on his faithfulness and on his heart. Amen? I mean, watch this thing. And as independent Baptists, we've come through a lot of that, haven't we? God does some wonderful things, some great things in our works, and we want to tag it on the man's back and give him credit for it. Now, what does God do? He pulls the rug out from under that man, and you see what he really is. Amen. I mean, these words sound harsh, folks, but they're truth. God will not share his glory with anyone. Not me, not you. I have great fear when I teach. I honestly do. I know what Paul meant when he said with fear and trembling. I really do. And it's not because I'm afraid of you. I come up about like Brother Dwayne did to talk about. I mean, I'd stand toe-to-toe. But the thing about it, there's fear in presenting the Bible and presenting it right. There should be. And presenting what God said and not what we want. But here he says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. And verse 4, for I know nothing by myself. I don't know whether I'm faithful or not. Do you? All right, watch this, folks. This is not just my little putting stuff together. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judges me is the Lord. He said, I don't know nothing by myself, but he said, I'm not justified in that. God knows you don't. God knows whether you're faithful or not. And you're not justified by thinking you're faithful. Just because you think you're faithful doesn't mean you are. Amen? When we stand before God and the hearts are judged, the counsels of the heart. Did I do it for the brethren? Or did I do it for God? Amen. All right, let's read these again, okay? These two verses again. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. He said, it's a very small thing. I'm going to give account to God, right? So it's a very small thing how you judge me. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, if a man would judge himself. Right? And he meant that thing. But right here, he's talking about faithfulness. Don't leave the subject. He said, if I judge myself on whether I'm faithful or not, I don't know. Only God knows. So that'll help us to be a little more careful with the back padding, won't it? For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. It's a little thing, he said, for you to judge me, but it's a big thing for God to judge me and my faithfulness. You know what's the biggest part of that judgment as I read in the Bible? Shame. Boy, when he judged Peter about that cock crowing three times, Peter was ashamed, wasn't he? And he wept bitterly. When he seen a little of that judgment and seen the Lord's words come in there, the shame of it. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. So what's it all about? The counsels of the hearts. Verse 5, God will praise him where he has been faithful and judge him where he hasn't. But it's a very small thing that I be judged of you or of man's judgment. I don't even judge myself. That's what Paul's saying. I'm not even judging myself. He said, because I don't know whether I'm faithful. Man, if he wasn't faithful, where'd that put us? If he wasn't faithful to what God said. But he's trying to straighten out some doctrine here. In the judgment seat of Christ, the counsels of the hearts, the motives. Why do I do what I do? What will keep me going? As I said a while ago, when I get up here and there's fear in what I do, and it's there a lot of times. What would motivate me to do that? Then I can't judge. Don't judge. God knows whether I'm faithful or not. But the fear of the Lord will bring a man to go on anyway. And the fear of judgment of the Lord. I've told this story many times, but I'm going to tell it again this morning. I grew up 7 boys, 3 girls. The youngest in the family. My mother was old. Not real old, but to other kids, she was old. When I was born, I was the youngest. Sometimes when I was just a little boy, I'd get on that. I was ashamed of where I lived, and I was ashamed of my mother. Really, honestly, I'm being honest with you. That's bad to say, but I was. But I loved her. Oh, how I loved her. And her. We're the same way with God. When we don't claim to be. God gave me a good lesson as life went on. Sometimes I'd get off that school bus at a different house if somebody I never knew didn't know where. I mean, honestly. I'm ashamed of that. But as it went on and I got into high school and started playing football and got popular in man's eyes, the other kids' eyes, and kids wanted to come home with me. You know what I found out? Those boys, a lot of them wanted to come home with me. They wanted to sit at my table and eat a big meal a mother had poured out there. And not Fruit Loops. I found out when I introduced them to her, they would love her too. Like I loved her. And I've heard people say, a man, if you love Jesus, you wouldn't be. No, some of us are ashamed of the Word. And we love God, but we don't present the Word properly because we're really ashamed of it because it's so simple. I found out in those later years, man, they some people, you introduce them to Jesus, they're going to love Him too. Like you love Him. They're going to see the value of Him. But let's go on. Everything that man intended will be brought out at the judgment seat. The motives of the heart and the intentions. will be brought out. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise of God. I love that last part. God's merciful in giving us His Son to die for us, to forgive us for our sins, to suffer hell for us. And then at the judgment seat, He's still merciful to clean us up and present us to the Father that we might have praise of Him. Grace is so deep we can't even explain it. Mercy. But every man have praise of God. Every brother, every sister, when God judges them and cleans them up, will have praise of God. You know, that helped me to understand when I seen that about that field. I've told you this in this class. I used that parable when a man went into the field and he worked all day. I've worked hard all my life. And I didn't like a man coming in there with 30 minutes left and getting what I got all day. But see, it's not about me. He's talking about faithfulness here, right? And when he judges that man and the counsel of the hearts comes out, and when everybody, and it's all about him and it's all cleaned up, every man have praise of God. But there's going to be some shame and there's going to be some judgment there. And there's going to be some crowns. And there's going to be a millennium. There's going to be an inheritance. And there'll be some problems. But mercy is always there, and grace is always there with God. And these things, brethren, have I figured in a figure transferred to myself into Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. What's written? For all of sin come short of the glory of God. What was written for them, all of them then? I know some things, Isaiah. All our righteousness is a filthy rags in the eyes of God. Let a man, and the things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself into Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one, not one of you, be puffed up one against another. All right. That's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Puffed up, blowed up like a balloon in self-pride. There's where the counsels of the heart come in, wouldn't it? For who maketh thee to differ from another? I don't even know how to explain some of these things, the way I feel about some of these scriptures. I've explained to Brother David before. I've grown up in those mountains, and I've seen some old women and people look at and say, "Lord, have mercy." Some of the one of the best two Christian women I ever met in my life, you might have seen them with overalls on. You might have seen them with some stuff in their mouth. And boy, we would judge that, wouldn't we? But I never seen in my life growing up two people do more for other people in the name of the Lord than they did. So it's a very small thing that they should be judged of us. Better wake up. God gave two pennies. You better use two pennies, and He's going to judge you on the two pennies. Not on the man that was given $5. What did you get that you didn't receive? And if you received it, why do you glory in it? Wasn't that what he said? For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? As if thou hast not received it. They were having problems with the gifts. I've got this, I've got that, look at me. Anything we've got, God give us. You say, well, I worked hard for everything I got. Come on. Who gave you strength in your body to do that work? Amen. Who kept you from being born like our brother that normally sits right there? God. And that don't mean God's judging somebody because of difference. Amen. Now you are full. Now he gets sarcastic with him. Okay? And he could do that. You know, we're all just alike. I try not to get sarcastic because I don't like it. But sometimes God can. When he said he'd laugh or mock to repeat after. When I saw that and looked that word up, mock that time, and he said he would mock. And it meant said repeat after. And when somebody said, well, didn't I do this? He said, can't you just hear him? Well, didn't I do this? Mock. No, he was saying, I did it. You didn't do it. Now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men. You know what it cost to write this book? That's what I tell people. A lot of people, I can get sarcastic. When people start talking about the Revised Version and all this, I say, well, if it helps you to get closer to God, read it. But, I said, this one was bought with blood. That one was bought with coffee. Now, you say, how do you say that? Because a group of men got by and poured them a big pot of coffee and sat there and talked about the Scriptures. The men that brought this to us died. They did. This book is bought with blood. Can you think of a better book? Could you think of a better introduction to the book? To find out that all the authors, what happened to them? Even the translators who did it right? For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. He's talking about that puffed up person, inflated with his own accomplishments, his own gifts, what he's got. That's what he's talking about. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. Ye are honorable, but we despised. Remember last week, a couple weeks ago, I told you, watch that word. Despised. Because God has chosen the things that are despised. Even unto the present hour, we both hunger and are thirst. And are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. Now, he said back up here a while ago, he said, I wish that you would reign. They will reign if they're saved in the kingdom. But it's a kingdom later. It's a cross now. We're to bear the cross now. We're to bear his cross. And, hey, we pray our way out of it most times. I'm the same way, man. I pray for God's guidance and protection on my family and for me and everything. But God said, it'll cost you. People are going to suffer for his name's sake. And they always have. They always have. But he's wanting us to be, in the first part of this chapter, stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it requires in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to the mysteries. There's a lot of other things we can be faithful to. But you better be thankful to the mysteries. Keep what God said in this book. You got to know it. How can you be skilled in it if you don't know it? You got to study it. You got to work at it. Even to this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Now, he starts off getting a little sarcastic with them. But he said, as my beloved sons. He's their father, he said. Through the gospel. Right? For though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. He brought the seed that gave the new birth, the Word of God. He planted the seed that gave the new birth. That's what he did. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. Now I can go through this. I don't know. In 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 2, follow me as I follow Christ. And now he's talking about, and he'll explain himself even all through the scriptures. We're to follow him. He's apostle to the Gentiles. And rightly dividing the Bible, you better look at those things. All right? In 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 2, in Ephesians 5, 1, he said, follow God. He said, follow me, but you say, as I follow Christ, as I follow God. In Philippians 3, 17, he said, an example. Follow me and my example to you. How I have lived my life. All right? Then in 1 Thessalonians 1, 6, he said, follow him through the Word. All right? In Galatians 1, 12, follow him through his revelation that's given him. Paul said, follow me more than one time. And he wasn't talking about following man. He's talking about his position in Christ, that he was following Christ, and we're to follow him as he followed Christ. And he's talking about we would follow him in the Word of God as the Word of God was being given to him for this dispensation. And we were to follow him in doctrine. He said, as he told Timothy, and we were to follow him in ordinances as he delivered them to us. Right? Not sacraments. Ordinances. And he clearly makes that out. We'll hit these as we get to them. But let me get back in here. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. His ways that were in Christ. Okay? Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not. Let me get right place. The speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness? Verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is a new birth. And now, we'll talk next week a little bit about some of this inheritance. Paul will say, well, if you do this and do that, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That takes some right division now. We don't inherit the kingdom of God. We are born into the kingdom of God. But there is a millennial coming that is a kingdom of God, and there's some inheritance in it. And that's what Paul's talking about, inheriting the kingdom of God. It's like inheritance and adoption are two scrambled up doctrines in Baptist churches. We get so much on a nation and a Gentile being adopted, which you want, that we forget what adoption is. Adoption, to wit, the Bible gives the definitions, not me, to wit, the redemption of our body. I'm not an adopted son in the fact that I am a born-again child of God. I am born into the family of God by the seed of God. Now, buddy, if that's not strong doctrine, that'll get you in trouble. It has me before, but I still stand on it. The seed of God. What more powerful thing could you have? Boy, you put that seed in the ground, it's just like they're going to bust that rock. Won't it? But I'm born into the family of God. Someday I will inherit a new body and the kingdom of God and rule and reign with Him. And a lot of my inheritance is due to how I performed as a son. It's true. I'll try to explain it better as I go. I know that's not clear, but that's a lot of it. But I'm not inheriting the kingdom of God as though men will look at it. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is entirely two different things. Paul never mentions the kingdom of God. Excuse me, the kingdom of heaven. He's the apostle of the Gentiles in this day and time, and he's presenting the seed of the Word of God that will birth you into the kingdom of God, which is within a man. It's not meat and drink. It's a new birth. As Jesus said, I'll drink no more of the fruit of the vine till I drink it new with you. It's not meat and drink. That's a kingdom. That's an earthly reign. This book has to be rightly divided. But what a book. What a book. We'll look next week and possibly get into chapter 6, but 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to bring us where you can start looking. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And we'll look at that fornication and what it is. And then, verse 6, dare any of you having a matter against another go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Well, I'm going to tell you, that's taken out of text a lot. Look at Romans 13 this week and study it. We're to be subject to the powers that be. And it's not up to the church. All right, well, I got to be careful how I say this. But there's some things that the law is already settled as to how it should be done. If there's a Sunday school teacher at Gospel Light Baptist Church molesting a child, it's not up to this church to judge that man. It's up to the law. And the people should not bring it before the deacon board and them take care of it because you don't take a brother to court. No. The law is there in Leviticus chapter 1 through 5. You see the laws, and it said if you know that the man is doing something and you do it, don't expose it, then you're a partaker. The law's there. And it's there to be obeyed. And it's how the sword is issued. Right? And the judgment of the sin against the law. There's some leaven that the church needs to judge. But if the law is clear on that matter, it's not a judgment of the church. If the preacher is embezzling, there is a law against that. And it's not up to the church to sweep it under the rug and forget about it because, well, that's just the way I look at it. It's the law. Amen? And Jesus said, read Romans 13 and look at it. And then go back and read the law of the sacrifices. And if a person hears another person swearing and subject to it and does not turn him in, then he'll suffer the consequences too, right? Now, we're not under that law, but we are under the laws and the Constitution of the United States. And we're to honor that. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. God, thank you for your word. Pray that you're blessed in the next hour. Amen.